Hi, everyone. This is a landmark event for me. I was very excited to lend support in a number of ways, both personally and through the Injury Center, in the creation of the SPIG. And so I'm particularly happy to be here. I think it's a particularly critical time. The funding to do a lot of this work is very much in question. I really want to talk about the transportation bill as an opportunity, and I frankly think the transportation bill probably won't move in the next administration, despite the thoughts that it would, or in the next congressional session. And also, I think the other key opportunity, which I won't talk about as much, but is totally implied here, is to move transportation work through community transformation grants, which are out of health reform. It's the prevention funding and health reform. And that too, I think, unless we're very aggressive and very encouraging of getting that money out on the table right away, is potentially stalled, which personally for me, for the few people here who know me, you know, is heartbreaking. But I really do want to talk about the linkages. Oh, great, and I have a disclosure apparently. And an incompetent use of slides. I really want to talk about how transportation and physical activity are really, really related to healthy communities, and then bring it home and explain to you why I particularly want to focus on the transportation bill per se, though really the strategic thinking and the conceptual thinking is much more cross-cutting. And we're starting with a photo here in Denver, I believe. I asked for a photo of Denver when I asked someone to put together these slides, so I have no idea where it is, but it looks very familiar, right? And basically about the links between driving and health. Every additional hour spent in a car is associated with a 6% increase in the likelihood of obesity. I had to use the statistic, but I did put obesity in quotes. I'll tell you why in a minute. Every additional kilometer walked is associated with a 4.8% reduction in the likelihood of obesity. So we've got some stats which basically say we need a very, very different way of thinking about our health and our well-being. And this got a little, this slide got ruined. But basically, there's a document I wrote, a paper I wrote with some colleagues called The O Word, Why the Focus on Obesity is Harmful to Health. I had a very hard time using the statistics because I thought they were important, but the term obesity we think stigmatizes people and leads in many cases to individual blaming, to people who really need to be engaged in physical activity saying, well, I'm not fat, to people who are overweight saying, well, now I feel bad, I'm not, you know, all those issues. And they're all documented in this paper if you could read what it says, but it's on our website. But more importantly for this talk is a document I put together called The Transportation Prescription as part of a group called Convergence Partnership, and Prevention Institute provides the staffing. And we wrote both the executive summary and some of the chapters, and a number of other researchers did. Again, on our website for free, just preventioninstitute.org. But it was an opportunity, and I should say that the transportation prescription laid out policy strategies that we first developed as an APHA policy, because we wanted APHA engaged as a partner, and APHA was told very clearly, well, the membership needs to have a policy first. So a number of people, starting with the injury section, but I believe it was 14 sections and SPIGs, including this one, all signed on to the transportation policy, which is the core of the thinking. Here, it's based on the work of the Convergence Partnership, which is a group of chronic disease funders, not the people you necessarily think of in transportation. Robert Wood Johnson, Kellogg, Kaiser Permanente, California Endowment, groups like that, that are aiming to say that their vision of healthy places have to do with neighborhoods. Their vision of healthy places have to do with multiple fields. Those are the members of the partnership. Core values of equity, social justice, innovation, impact, sustainability, the convergence of all these, and I think you'll see and agree the links between transportation and physical activity are one of the great opportunities for that multi-field, equity-focused environmental and policy change. So I put together this little quiz for us with some funny photos. I like to do this to talk about the environment. So what does transportation have to do with health? I would call this picture a set of transportation decisions. Any links to health there? Or this one from Atlanta? Any links between transportation decisions and health here? That was federal highway funding that built that sidewalk with that pole there. My most sad, I just drove on Buford Highway where CDC is located on Buford Highway, and someone from CDC said, oh, we really tried to fix this. And we do have at least one shy, sad rep. And they did in a little part of Buford Highway for a little while, and it's an unconscionable highway. And I just say it's a national emergency, so after this meeting, I hope we'll fix it. That picture, by the way, is obviously during the day. I drove by at night a few weeks ago, and I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked, because it looks like that for a mile, miles in any direction, and you have stores on one side and residences on the other, and you can see there's no crosswalks. There's no way to get across. This is my favorite picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much time do I have?
You have a good 7 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to speed up. But I have to show you this one. This people send me photos now. This is Florida. So this is transportation decisions. You might say it has to do with injury prevention because we're worried about alligator bites. But really, I'm more worried about the people who obviously are not walking and biking in that kind of an environment. So that's it. And the point is a very clear one. We get the links between the environment and health when we think about air, water, soil, toxics. But there's links between environment and how we behave and how we shape our environment that have a huge impact on health as well. They have a huge impact on physical activity. They have a huge impact on injury. They have a huge impact on chronic disease. And it's unreasonable, as the Institute of Medicine put it, it's unreasonable to expect people are going to change their behavior when so many forces, so many alligators, are conspiring against such change. It's unreasonable when forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment conspire against the change. And this is not only a convincing quote, but it's, I think, a very powerful one to use. So we have it for free on our website. You can just pull it down because it is from the Institute of Medicine. So I want to talk a little bit about some emerging issues. You know, we can link physical activity, we can link transportation with chronic disease, as I mentioned, clearly with climate change, clearly with the environment. You know, we know that transportation links with that, physical activity links with that, environmental protection. I just took this photo a few months ago. I loved this sign of your recovery dollars at work. Nice place to visit, lovely place for a walk. Probably can't get there without driving 2 hours to get there. What's wrong with that picture? How do we invest? But it's a wonderful trail. It really is, so it's a mix. The key issues of equity, the links between equity, transportation, physical activity. So there's this opportunity then to converge. There's this opportunity to think about all these issues at the same time. And then the question becomes, what does healthy, equitable transportation policy look like? And what is it that we're going to advocate? And this is the description from Transportation Prescription. But you can see how it's all physical activity and transportation at the same time. Safe routes to school. Completing streets, so we're talking about all users. Traffic calming. Somebody told me the other day there are now 21 methods of revising streets. So here's the punchline. The punchline is that of all the funds in the federal government, transportation funding ranks seventh. You know, there's defense, there's health. Transportation is number seven, but it is by far the highest amount that is returned to states and localities. Someone said, look at you, out your door, Larry, your number one resource, your number one open space that you own as a taxpayer in your city is the streets. I said, streets is not a resource. Streets are streets. I had no comprehension, needless to say, this was a number of years ago, no comprehension that this is our decisions about what to design, and most of the decisions are transportation funding, which are very much up to local and state decision making. Signs and signals. another thing. Queens Boulevard in New York, where lots of people were dying, and somebody went and observed and said, you know what, everybody who's dying is pretty old and feeble, and they're having a hard time crossing the streets, and I timed it. It takes them 2.5 minutes to cross the streets, and it's 2 minutes between when the lights change. This is an impossible situation. So they built a middle point in the road for people to stop. They extended the lights to 3 minutes. They put in better signage, and lives are saved every day. Public transit. I can show you signs. Do you know that when we stop thinking of traffic crashes as the fault of individuals and said we can redesign our roads, our cars, we have reduced deaths and injuries per vehicle mile traveled by 90%? Do you know, though, that there's tremendous resistance to the notion, you know, of what the real solution now is, now that we've done that, reduce the number of individual private car vehicle miles traveled. You know, somehow in my town, this is Oakland, people say, well, the buses should pay for themselves. The cars, you don't have to pay for themselves. I mean, buses are natural resources. Buses are advantages for all of us. And so that's the kind of decision we need to make about community policy, health impact assessment, looking broader at the links between zoning, transportation, health issues on safety. And that's where the authorization of a new transportation bill comes in, $67 billion. And that's why hopefully we get to this bill. The last thing I wanted to say, I just have a minute and a half left, is it's critical that we work along sectors. We've developed this tool, which might be useful to some of you who are interested in cross-sectoral work, called Collaboration Multiplier, and we were asked to put it to work. We developed a traffic safety center for UC Berkeley, because there was no traffic safety center west of the Mississippi, and you can see just looking at those five groups that there's a challenge and an opportunity in bringing them together. The optometry guy showed up. I said, what are you doing here? He said, cover your eyes. I did. He said, now think about driving like that. And he said, well, you see how eyesight and driving have some relationship? But each group has a different perspective. You know, each group, public health will define it this way, law enforcement will define it that way. We don't have time to go through this, but before long you have a whole grid and you can talk about the implications and how you average out definitions and how we use one another's data. We take it for granted now in health to use FARS data, you know, fatal accident reporting system data. The notion is that a good solution solves multiple problems. So inclusion, conclusion, we need to change norms. This is a typical picture. This was a day in Los Angeles. One day, one highway, but there's a direction in which we need to go. We need to work together. I've worked on things from the first no smoking laws to food labeling bills to child passenger safety seats. Believe me, norms change slowly, but when they start to change, it's like a snowball. They go ever faster. And the decisions about our federal transportation bills, if we can spread the word broadly enough, are up to the people who live in our communities. And I think our decisions of paying attention to the transportation bill as an unbelievably important opportunity for physical activity are changes we can make so that it becomes literally a no-brainer. Thank you very much.
We do have a few minutes if there are any questions from the audience.
Hi. Yes. Can you say a little something about your success or challenges in working with some of the agencies in Alameda County, like transportation? I can imagine that's not always an easy thing to start out with.
Well, one of the reasons we developed the collaboration multiplier is because for the most part, we go to people in other agencies with our agendas. And obviously there's a goal or we wouldn't be going to the agencies. But I think one of the first things about collaboration multiplier is to switch the thinking and say, now how did they think about these issues and what's in it for them and what did they want to accomplish? So I'll tell you an early story even before there was the tool. I worked in the city of Pittsburgh, which is a tiny town in California named after Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because it's got a steel mill and stuff like that. And at that point, we didn't have computers. I was using stick pins on a map, and I went to the guy who was in charge of traffic for this little town, and I said, you know what, I figured it out.
I figured out where all the injuries are happening. And can you believe it? It's Railroad Avenue, which is the main street, right where it hits School Street, where the high school is. You know, the last thing you want in your community is to have kids hit as they're going to school. I said, I figured it out. All we have to do is slow down traffic near this intersection. And he said, Larry, slow down traffic? I was just called on the carpet yesterday by the city council saying I need to speed up traffic, that people, you know. So if I went in with that knowledge in the first place, I could be much, much more successful. I think there's increasing vision of people from transportation, health. I think we're starting to design notions of health in all policies. We need to show how it's a win for them. With the ARRA funding,